welcome to our TSM graduations. I'm so excited for today. My name is Philby and I'm part of the TSM team. I get the wonderful joy of overseeing the pastoral care of all our students, and it is one of the most amazing jobs that I get to do. It's such a privilege and a pleasure to see them walk through amazing journeys with God, and it's amazing to see what God does in them and through them throughout the year. And we've got so many stories that we could tell you, but we've just asked four people to share some highlights, some stories from the year. So if I can invite up Sharon, Helen, Esther, and Gary. Sharon Pohl, that is. Come and join me up here. Esther, come on up here. You're going first.
Cool. So a bit of my story, really. I absolutely loved sport. Sport was everything I lived for. I was playing football. I was never happier than when I was playing football or when I was kayaking down a river or when I went climbing. Absolutely loved for it, lived for it, loved watching it. And then 3 years ago, I was climbing and I fell and broke my ankle. And I was expecting, 6 weeks on crutches and then back to doing everything I loved doing. Didn't happen for me. Unfortunately, I then had surgery once. It didn't really help the situation. I had surgery again last summer. Didn't really help the situation. And just went through kind of 3 years of very much, I haven't got a clue what my identity is anymore. Sport was the thing I lived for, and now I haven't got that. I can't run, I can't climb, I can't do anything I love doing. Breakthrough came for me this year on TSM, just before Christmas, and I was being prayed for. And then God was just amazing, just totally flipped my attitude around. I went from a place of being so hopeless and thinking, when is this going to finish? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. To now I'm playing badminton week in, week out. I'm learning to snowboard. I've seen massive physical improvements in my ankle this year. I still get a few twinges, but it has been completely different to where it was the last 2 years after surgery. And the biggest thing for me is just complete restoration of my future, of my hope. I was totally hopeless, and now I'm in a place of complete hope because of what God's done this year.
Hi, guys. Nice to see everyone here today. I've been asked to share a little bit about my journey this year, which actually goes back quite a few years before. I've been a Christian about 12 years now, and have seen so much healing. I've been in this church about 8 years, and there's been so much restoration to my heart and in my relationship with God, which I've been so grateful for. But I was really aware that even before I started TSM, there were some major issues in my being able to feel safe with God, like intimacy with God as a father. I found that just really hard to have breakthrough with. So that was something I was kind of thinking, that's what I'm coming on this course for, as well as, learning how to see people healed and all the rest of it. But I thought my heart is more important, actually. So my parents separated when I was 10 years old, and didn't have that much contact with my dad. I'm 31 now, so it's quite a long time. And in that time, I kind of tried as an adult to, have relationship with him, do that whole kind of father-daughter thing. But I always felt a bit of separation together. And I knew that there was things I still just had to get off my chest. And we've had little chats, but I always knew I was kind of avoiding that last thing I had to say. There was the Father's Heart Conference last October, which is every year, so it'll be coming up quite soon. And this year, I found, there was some major connection in my heart. The guy was talking, what's his name? James Jordan, amazing guy. He basically gave this very simple analogy where he said, sometimes when we disconnect our hearts from our earthly parents, that can have a separation to our, Father in heaven. And I kind of just made that decision to connect my heart back to God's heart and also to my parents' heart. So long story short, I ended up writing a long letter to my father, who's here today. You can say hi at the end. And just basically shared everything that was on my heart, apologising for my side where I'd held back love. Because I'd never really thought to do that. I thought, he was the father, da da da. So I did all that. We met up and we had just a really open conversation, quite moving. I was just quite upset and just being very, very honest. I think it's taught me a lot about authenticity and just saying the awkward things that, you've maybe spent your whole life not saying. but it's been amazing. And so we've met up quite a few times since then, and I've just found a real change, certainly in our relationship, in terms of less awkwardness. And I've noticed I don't have sort of father issues, which I've had for all of my life. And not only that, but I've been able to experience Father God's love and kind of guidance and approval. So it's been amazing. So, yeah, encourage you all.
Well, thanks, guys. I said to Wendy when I started, how much time have I got? And she said, don't worry, if you go on too long, Philby will pull you off the platform, so just watch out down here. Well, what a journey I've been on. I mean, 15 months ago, I wasn't even going to a small group. I'd got a bit bored with it all, and I've been a Christian for a long time, but I wasn't connected at all. Janet was going along faithfully, as she always has done, to Ruth and Alan Byfield's group. And one Sunday, Ruth said to me, do you know what, Gary, our group is not complete without you. And God really spoke to me through that. So I started going along to the group. And then a little while later, Ruth and Alan decided they were going to do TSM. And I'm thinking, not a chance am I going to do something like that. I've heard how scary it is. There's no way I would do that. So here I am. So still, don't ask me how it happened, but that was a miracle in itself. Well... right at the beginning of the conference, at the beginning of the year, we attended a James Jordan conference. And in that conference, I was really struggling because I've never felt I've had a clear picture or revelation of God. I've been a Christian for a long, long time, but I've never felt that closeness. And in, I think, the second meeting that he did, I had an amazing revelation. I could see myself standing in the throne room of God, alongside Jesus, and God looking down at me and saying, you are my son and I love you dearly. And do you know that is etched on my heart now? That's never going to go away. And whenever Satan comes, I'm just saying that back to him, and he just clears off pretty quick. So when I started the TSM, I was on the adopter block team, which meant that we were going around a certain area around the hospital, and the idea is to look out for people that God puts on your heart, to talk to them and to pray for them, show them God's love, pray for healing if necessary. And right at the beginning, the very first thing we did was treasure seeking, which everybody knows is the worst thing for me. I hate doing treasure seeking. So I wrote down all these things about the guy that I might see, and then I prayed on the way round, Lord, please don't show me this guy. I really don't know when to meet this guy. So God was faithful. He didn't show me the guy that I just never put down. So we got back, and then I felt that I was in the pits. And Zenny, bless her heart, she'd gone out with me, and she said, you know what? God is really pleased with you. He's there cheering for you because you were obedient, although you were fearful. And that was a huge breakthrough for me. So that was the next thing. And then later on in the year, only a few weeks ago now, I decided to have some sozo prayer because, once again, I was struggling with my personal relationship with God. And again, right at the end of that, I was asked to close my eyes and say, could I picture Father God? So I closed my eyes and I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And then suddenly I could see God, and they said to me, well, what's God saying to you? And they said, God said to me, you are amazing and I love you with an everlasting love. And again, that is etched on my heart now. I'm almost done, so hang in there. Don't throw me off just yet. Okay.
I'm getting ready.
Okay. Okay. So the following week, we went out on the adopter block again, and I went out with my amazing friend, Olivier. Come on, Olivier. And it was all so different. We went around the hospital, and there were three people on crutches, and we went up to all three of them. Two of them didn't want to be prayed for, but we left them with God's love. The third one we prayed for. On the way back up Amptill Road, there was a guy, I think he's connected with the night shelter, and Olivier knew him, and we asked him if we could pray for him about anything, and he said he'd been to the doctor, and he had terminal cancer with a lump in his chest, and it was really painful. So we said, could we pray for him? And Olivier and I both hugged him, and he was crying, and we prayed for him, and we asked him how he was doing after the prayer, and he said, well, the pain's still there. So we said that we'd pray for him again. We pray for him again, crying again. How was it after that? He said, the pain's all gone. The pain's all gone. Yeah. And the very last thing, I could spend ages on this, but I won't. At the leaders' conference just just a couple of weeks ago. Janet and I were on the door, and we were asked to do the treasure hunting again. And again, I'm thinking, oh no. But the result of that is God was just so faithful, because in that 2 days, there was one guy who had damaged knees through playing rugby. Not only did God heal the pain, but overnight he totally reformed his legs. His legs were deformed backwards, apparently, and overnight God just changed his legs, and he had his wife said he had amazing legs. Almost done. There was another girl that we prayed for that had pain in her arm for several weeks. Prayed for her and the pain went completely. And she said to me a couple of days later, it's all gone, it hasn't come back. And then when we had stories the next day, the guy with the knee stood up, and then Simon said, let's pray for other guys with knee problems. And so a guy next to us that had severe knee problems, he'd been playing rugby again. I've no idea why people play rugby when they keep damaging themselves. But anyway, he damaged his knees badly. The cartilage has been destroyed. And the doctor said there was nothing he could do. He couldn't bend his legs properly. So I bent down and said, can I pray for you? I put my hands on his knees, and he had leather supports all around his knees. I prayed for him, and immediately he could bend his knees, and he came down the front and shared that. He came back in the evening. He said, you'll never guess what. I went out after the meeting, and I ran for 50 metres, and I haven't done that for 20 years. And just lastly, we've been reading an amazing book called God's Generals, and one of my real heroes is Smith Wigglesworth. And a number of people said to him, what's the secret of all that you're doing? And he said, only believe. And that's what I'll leave you with.
I'm really glad I wrote it down now. After all that, I've had an incredible time this year. God has changed me in so many ways. When TSM started, it felt a bit like me as the Last Chance Saloon. I'd been out of church completely for a good year or more, and for a long time before that, I was only going intermittently. I hadn't lost my love for God, but I'd lost my enthusiasm for life. And my faith had become a very private and quiet little thing. I didn't talk to anybody about it, really. I had an opinion about everything and everyone. I was critical. I was judgmental. You know, I wasn't in a good place. I had lots of fears and hang-ups, and actually one of them was driving any distance that really terrified me, and the fact of having to get over to Bedford from Milton Keynes for my interview was the very first challenge. So, you know, I did it, yeah, and I did more besides. At the Father Heart Conference in September, James Jordan, at the end, he had this all lined up round the room, and he came round and he prayed for absolutely everyone. And when he got to me, he said, I see pots and pans, but no more. It's time to fly. And so me, being me, said, oh, I'm scared of flying. And he said, oh, not that type of flying. But it has been a time of flying for me. It's all been about my identity, who I am as a daughter of my Heavenly Father and my relationship with him. And it's just been amazing. You know, God's been so good to me. He's been gentle, but he's challenged me all the time. I've been out of my comfort zone most of the time. But actually, I've come to want that in a kind of way, because I know that if I'm comfortable, then actually I'm not growing. And to be out of my comfort zone means that I'm actually growing in God, and I'm putting my trust in him. I haven't enjoyed everything. At the beginning, if I could have just sort of slid out the door backwards with nobody noticing, I would have done, but nobody would have let me. So... healing on the streets was really difficult for me until I found my own way of doing things, and also until I realised that God was right there with me, and it was the desire to please him and bless people with what he gave me that was greater than my fear of being out on the streets and worrying how I felt, what people thought of me.
Very good.
I didn't tell you last Friday, but the Friday before, you remember when I bought that prophetic song? Well, the Saturday after that, I was out running and I was really flagging, and suddenly I was singing a prophetic song and I was whizzing along, and I thought, this isn't for me, you know, this is for other people. And I actually bought it at my home church on Sunday. And, you know, like you said, the atmosphere changed, it changed there, and, you know, it was just so releasing for me. But it wasn't just releasing for me. I think it's not whether I'm scared or what it does to me, but it's how it affects other people, and the fact that God is using me to change people's lives. You know, that's what's important. I've nearly finished. My life does have reason and purpose. And everything that God is doing in me is so that I can fulfill that purpose. And every time I've stepped out of my comfort zone, he has never let me down. I feel now as if I'm just beginning to be the person he's always intended for me to be. And I do feel as if I've been flying. Thank you.
Wow. I wish we could have time to have all 40 students share what God has done, because those kind of stories are just repeated time and time again. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Wendy. I have the privilege of leading the TSM team. For those of you who don't know what TSM is, and you've kind of stumbled across us this morning, basically it's a training for supernatural ministry school, which we started 4 years ago. It runs a day and a half a week. And it's really, we're just trying to train people and equip people to be like Jesus and to see God's kingdom break out wherever they go and understand who God says they are and understand who God is as their father. And so we're having a whale of a time, and I'll tell you a bit more about it a bit later. Gosh, time's moving on. Right. Guys, thanks so much for coming. I know that many of you have traveled a long way to come and support your friends and family, so thank you so, so much. We have had such an incredible year, and we just had an amazing day on Friday. We had our last day together and just shared story after story of lives that have been impacted and breakthrough people have seen on the streets, both as part of TSM, but also in their own time. And it's just been amazing just to see what God's doing. One of my highlights was receiving this very incredible picture. You can come and look at it at the end if you want to, but maybe, Sarah, do you want to hold it up real quick? Basically, these guys, Sarah came up with the idea. Sharon Pohl, who's phenomenally gifted, has made it happen. But all the students have basically written encouragements, and Sharon's put them in a tree, and then they put their fingerprints on as leaves and representative of the fruit that God has brought through their lives. It's absolutely incredible. So I'm just quite proud of it. So you can come and have a look at it if you like. But it's going to go back to my house and be on my wall. So I'm very excited about that. So just incredible. And I just wanted to share this morning, guys, a little bit about our journey, really, because about 5 years ago, Simon and Paul Johnson and myself sat down, really, and dreamed about what it would look like if we started a supernatural training school in this church. And we really didn't really know what we were doing, but we sat down and dreamed about it. And that's what TSM came out of, really. And we knew that we were called as a church to be an apostolic training base where people would come, get trained and equipped in the things of God, and then go and take it out wherever they went. And we just felt like TSM would be a part of that prophetic promise being fulfilled. And so over the past 4 years, we've had about 135 people come through the school. We've had students from the Netherlands, from Sweden, from France, from Latvia, and then all over the UK, as far as Brighton and Bournemouth and Bolton. And it's just been amazing to see who God has brought along and the lives that have been impacted. And I just wanted to share a bit about something of the vision behind the school, because many of you won't have a clue really what it's about, and just share some key breakthroughs we've experienced together, just an opportunity for us to remember what God has been doing and to be excited and stirred about what he wants to continue to do. And at the end of the meeting, at the end of me speaking, we really want to pray for people for breakthrough. I just really feel expectant that God wants to come and bring breakthrough, particularly in physical conditions, emotional hurts. And our students are going to be up for it. Guys, remember to get words of knowledge as I'm speaking. And we're going to share some of those and just see what God wants to do. Is that all right? You guys up for it? So why don't you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to just read two scriptures, 37 and 38. Just to give you the context, in this piece of scripture, up to this point, the disciples of Jesus have received the promised Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the kingdom of God has been breaking out through them, and they've been seeing God do amazing things. But their focus up to this point has been solely on the Jews. And then Peter, one of the disciples, gets a vision from God. And I won't go into all the detail, but through a series of events, he finds himself at a guy's house called Cornelius. And Cornelius is there with his friends and family. And Cornelius says to Peter, I want you to teach us everything that the Lord has told you. And Cornelius is not a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. And Peter finds himself in this position. And in Acts 10, verse 37, 38, Peter is telling Cornelius some of the stuff that he's learnt through Jesus. And it says this, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I just love it. In this piece of scripture, Peter's summary of Jesus is this sentence. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. He healed all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. That is Peter's summary of the life of Jesus. And really, that summary kind of sums up the heart behind TSM and the vision of TSM. And so I'm just going to pull a few bits out, share some stories as I go, and we'll see what happens. So the first thing that Peter says about Jesus is that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And actually, a huge part of TSM is learning about the Holy Spirit. At TSM, we just love the Holy Spirit. We love to be in God's presence. We love it when God comes. And we are just trying to learn together what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit continually, to let God come and do what he wants to do when we're out on the streets. What does it mean to partner with the Holy Spirit and do what he's doing? And that's a big part of the journey that we're on. What does it mean to stay filled with the Spirit? Because what we've realized is everything we do out there flows out of what God is doing in us and out of the Holy Spirit in us. This is why Simon's book, which talks about removing the obstacles to the Holy Spirit flowing, is so key. And actually a massive part of our journey at TSM in the first few months is getting rid of the rocks that get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we just love spending time with God and learning about that. And actually two key fruits that come about as we spend time in God's presence and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us again and again and again. First of all, we understand more and more what it means to have God as our Father, to know what it actually means to have God as our Father. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And also, we understand more and more what it means to be God's sons and daughters, to understand what it means to live as a son or daughter of the God of the universe. And those two things are a massive part of our TSM journey. Much of the stories that are shared are about, I now understand what it means to have God as my Father, or I now understand what it means to live as a daughter and a son. And actually, it's a huge part of the course. As we allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again and again, God deals with stuff that gets in the way of us realizing those two things, and it equips us to then be all that God's called us to be outside of the church. When we're walking through shops, when we're walking in town, we can expect that God wants to use us. And so we've had phenomenal stories of breakthrough. I've been looking through some of our story sheets of the last 4 years. I mean, I could have picked out 135. I mean, honestly, I just picked out a couple. First one was a lady a couple of years ago who came to TSM with really severe depression. She'd been signed off work for a year up to this point and was on antidepressants at the time. And she did FP and TSM together but was really struggling and felt at certain points she just wondered if she needed to quit, actually. And then we had a particular moment when God was breaking in one of our meetings, one of our sessions, and I remember going to pray for her with a friend of mine, and God's presence just broke in, and she was wonderfully set free from a spiritual stronghold in her life that was to do with fear of rejection. And I remember the moment, it was really powerful, when God broke in. And from that point on, 6 weeks later, she had come off her medication that she'd been on for over a year, and she is now totally free from depression. She is totally healed. It's just amazing. When I asked her to write a bit of a testimony, this is her summary. So since being healed, I feel like I belong in my body. I feel like I'm a real person. I'm worth something. I feel like I have a life to live.
It's just amazing. A moment of just letting the Holy Spirit come and break in. Another story of another lady who, in the very first year, really was just longing for joy. She knew that when God's kingdom broke in, one of the fruits of that was joy. And she saw other people getting joy. But she was just desperate for her own breakthrough, because whenever she came into God's presence, often she would cry. There's lots of pain in her heart. And it was 3 weeks before the end of the year. She pressed in for so long. 3 weeks before the end of the year, she was at one of our conferences, and the Holy Spirit broke in, and she just found herself laughing in God's presence and laughing and laughing. So much so that when she got home, God's presence was still doing stuff in her heart, and she was just laughing and filled with joy, and she was experiencing freedom. And her life has been radically transformed. I mean, I see her now. I still know her. She is full of joy. And she's actually one of these people, when she prays for you, you will often receive an impartation of God's joy, because she just carries it so strongly. And actually, she's about to start a supernatural school in Milton Keynes, which is very, very exciting for us, because she's come through this, realized who God's made her to be, and she's going to go and do the same thing somewhere else. It's just amazing. God is literally transforming lives. I don't know if you're getting this. Actually, literally, people come in looking one way and leave looking differently. I mean, Helen, who shared last just then, she looks physically different. I wish you'd seen her at the beginning of the year. She looks in her face physically different, because God has broken in, and it's the same time and time and time again. And what we're finding is, as we allow the Holy Spirit to break in, he's dealing with stuff in our hearts, and it's equipping us to be much more effective when we're going out and doing the stuff that God has called us to. It's very exciting. And yeah, you know, when you meet with God, he changes you. That's how it should be. Second thing in Peter's summary, Jesus went about doing good. Love it. Jesus went about doing good. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And you know, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And so what you see in Jesus represents what the Father's like. And Peter chooses to summarize Jesus and the stuff that he did by saying he went about doing good. He's good. Do you know, God is good. And part of the big revelation that we have to go on in terms of TSM is understanding that the God we worship and the God we're in relationship with is actually good. And it might feel like that's a bit of a crazy revelation. Of course he's good. I tell you what, many of us go through our relationships with God and our Christian walk believing he's good up here, but not really living as if we believe it. And so it's a huge revelation for us to understand actually God's good. And he loves to do good stuff. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. And we're trying to build that foundation into us at the deepest level. Because when you understand that God is good, when you then go out and live your life and you have opportunities to see God's kingdom break in, then you know that God wants to do good things. You know, you're convinced that because your Father is good, you know that he wants to do good things through you. And actually, when we go out on the streets, which we do most Thursday afternoons, we've got one group here who's in the healing rooms, but the rest of these guys go out into the streets to bless the community. The heart and motivation behind going, behind everything we do, behind speaking to people, behind offering to pray, or whatever it is this: to demonstrate the love and kindness and goodness of God. That is our heart. That is our motivation. When we go out and do this stuff, we're wanting to demonstrate to people that God is good, that he loves them, that he's kind, that he's got good things for them. And I tell you what, we've got story after story after story of people being blown away by the goodness of God, where he has spoken through one of our students in just the right moment, something that no one else could have known, and suddenly they realize that God knows me. God is good. I remember, in the very first year, a lady called Sarah Adams went out on the streets, and it was her second ever time treasure hunting, which is where you get your clues. God speaks to you about who you're going to meet, and you go and try and find that person. And I have to be honest, like Gary, often when I do that, I'm also praying, Lord Jesus, please don't let me find this person, because I'm scared. Anyway, Sarah went out. It was her second ever time going out, and she was petrified, and she wasn't really excited about it at all. And her and the team had clues that were, there was a particular number, Jamaican Colours and Janet. So they just thought, well, we've got a number, maybe it's to do with the bus station. So they made their way down to the bus station in Bedford Town Centre and saw this shop in the window where lots of mannequins dressed in Jamaican colours. So they thought, okay, well, maybe we need to go into this shop. But then they thought, I don't really know what to do. And there's a guy in there, the guy behind the counters looks like he's on his own. We're not sure if there's anyone else in the room. Well, let's go in. So they kind of head in, and bumble about a bit and don't really know what to do, and says, I think she went up to the guy and said, this is our map, we've got Jamaican colours. And the guy was like, oh yeah, we've got those in the window, and assuming that she wanted to buy something with Jamaican colours. I was like, I don't want to buy anything with Jamaican colours, I'm just trying to work out if God's speaking. She sees this lady sat on a chair by the front counter, and she just, I don't know why she decides to do this, but she just goes up to her and says, is your name Janet? And the lady said, yes. And she was like, what? And then suddenly realised, oh gosh, hang on, what am I meant to say? And she basically had a conversation with this lady. It was absolutely outstanding because this lady had literally just come out of hospital. She needed a hip replacement. And she had been praying for a sign for years from God to see if he was real. And my friend bumbled into this shop, said to her, are you Janet? And got to demonstrate the love and kindness of God to her. She was crying so much that the guy who owned the shop had to go back to his kitchen and get some kitchen roll to come and give to the lady who was just blown away that the God of the universe knew her name. How amazing is that? It's so, so good. I remember another time when it was pouring down with rain during outreach, and I said to the outreach team leaders, don't worry about taking your teams in the rain, it's horrible, find somewhere inside to go. One of the team leaders had come to me, come that day and said, decided, actually, I want to take my teams purposefully out in the rain to bless people who have to work outside. That was her decision. I thought, brilliant, go for it. So as a team, they went to find people who had to be outside or had to be out on their own working. And they found this guy who was working in a car park who was sheltering under this little hut. And they decided to buy him a coffee and some cake. They went up to him and said, look, we're Christians. We just want to bless people today. We realize you're having to work here. It's not very pleasant. We just wanted to bring you some coffee and cake. And you know what he said to them? He said he had been working there for 11 years and no one had ever thanked him. And they just went and gave him coffee and cake, and he just encountered the goodness of God through that very simple act. That's what we're trying to do. So, he went about doing good, and then Peter says, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. A huge part of God demonstrating his goodness, of Jesus demonstrating the goodness of God, was seeing supernatural breakthrough in people's lives where his kingdom broke in and they were healed or they were set free or they were raised again from the dead. A huge part of Jesus demonstrating God's goodness was through supernatural breakthrough. And we are, again, trying to learn how to do that as part of this school. Because Jesus loved people, he healed them. Because he loved people, he set them free. Because he loved people, he raised them from the dead. Because Jesus loved people, his desire was that wherever he went and wherever his disciples went, the kingdom of God would break out and the kingdom of darkness would be pushed back. That's what Jesus was doing. Because he loved people, he wanted the kingdom of darkness, which was all about loss and death and pain and suffering, pushed back so that his kingdom could advance. His kingdom, which is to do with healing and wholeness and freedom and joy and peace and all of that good stuff, he wanted that to break in. That's what he modeled, and that's what he says is available for us. And it's still his desire that the kingdom of God would break in. The kingdom of God is still advancing. One day it will be here in all of its fullness. But in the meantime, it's the church's job to see it keep going. It's your and my job to see the kingdom of God keep pressing in and keep advancing. And a huge part of what we're doing at TSM is realizing that we are also anointed with power like Jesus was. And we are commissioned and called to see God's kingdom break out wherever we go. To see the sick healed, the broken bound up, the hurting comforted, those who are in bondage set free, and ultimately those who don't know Jesus come to know him. You know, this year alone, I think we've seen 6 or 7 people responding to the gospel out on the streets in Bedford as they've encountered the love of God and decided, I want to give this a go. It's just been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, I could share with you a whole host of stories. A couple of highlights. Last year, a lady called Fran made friends with this guy in the town. She was on the Healing on the Streets team, which is basically chairs that we line up in town with a big banner that says healing. We just invite people to come and sit down and get prayer. And she made a friend with this guy who was a baker on one of the market stalls. We affectionately named him the Baker Man. His name's actually Dave. But he was the baker man for most of the year. And they went to offer to pray for him. And he had pain in his knees. He'd had pain in his knees, I think, for 7 years. He used to be a carpet fitter, and so he was struggling with lots of pain. They prayed for his knees, and I think it got a little bit better, but nothing major happened. The next week, they went back, and the baker man was there again. So they just went and said, loved him and said, how are you doing? Anyway, the next day, on the Friday after they'd prayed for him, he'd woken up that morning, and all the pain in his knees had totally, totally disappeared. And then on the Saturday, he played football for the first time in years. It was just amazing. Now, week and week, they got to go back to speak to the baker man, and they just really felt God was doing something. God was on him. God wanted to draw him to himself. And they just began to talk to Dave about the gospel, began to share the gospel to him. And by May of their TSM year, he'd given his life to Jesus, was plugged into a church where he was from, and was frustrated that his brother was taking too long to convert. Isn't that amazing? So good. Just this last week, a couple of weeks ago, one of our other teams out in the streets, Nick was leading the team and had an opportunity to bring a word of knowledge over someone he'd never met before, prophesy over them. And this lady was in a bit of a difficult situation. Nick felt God said to him that she was struggling to sleep, and she was actually indeed on medication for her sleep. So he got to share this with her, and through a series of other events, found out that her mother had encouraged her to go and see a spiritualist or have tarot cards read to try and get some breakthrough in her life. And Nick said to her, well, listen, I'll tell you what, I can ask God what he wants to say to you, and I'll do it for free. How about that? And she was open for it, and he just went on and prophesied over her and brought words of knowledge into her life. And she said that she was basically blown away. She did not know how to respond to what God was saying to her. And the friend that was with her, Nick then prophesied over her, said, I see you writing in your journal every night on your bed, and you keep it in a box at the end of your bed. It's the way that you get out of your heart what you feel. And it's exactly right. She has a journal that she writes in every night on her bed. She keeps it in a box at the end of her bed. Guys, this is the kingdom of God breaking in, where we're being able to show people that God is kind and he loves them and he knows them. And we're seeing lives transformed all the time. I mean, it's just amazing what God is doing through the students as they step out. I love how Peter ends his summary of Jesus. He says this. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. And actually, again, at TSM, we're trying to learn the same is true for us. The God of the universe, as we go out and we step through fear and walk through obedience, he is with us. And he is just wanting to back up everything. He's wanting to step in and break in. We're trying to learn that as sons and daughters of God, our Heavenly Father is with us. And actually, we're realizing more and more that the breakthrough we're seeing, the stuff we're doing, it's all about him anyway. It's all about his presence, all about him speaking to us and directing us. And it just means that we get to do the stuff and have fun rather than thinking there's any pressure on us to make it happen. It's so wonderful to know that God is with you as you walk through fear and you step out in what he's called you to. The pressure is off. God is with us. And you know what? I think what I love about this passage or this particular piece of scripture is when it gets to verse 44 and 45, it says this. Peter's speaking to Cornelius, his friends and family. He's given this summary of Jesus. He's saying some other things. Verse 44, it says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. It's like, my gosh, I mean, he was talking about this Holy Spirit who had anointed Jesus, and Peter himself had been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. As he's saying this, the same Holy Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles. The guys, the women and men who they felt were outside of the purposes of God, as Peter is speaking, the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus and the same Holy Spirit that he had received at Pentecost fell out on them. The same Holy Spirit fell out on them. And I think in this moment, God is speaking loud and clear. The life that Jesus lived under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the life that he modeled and then encouraged his disciples to live as well, wasn't meant to be just for a few people here and there, but was meant to be for everybody. this lifestyle is meant to be for everybody. The Jews thought the Gentiles weren't really in the picture. Suddenly, when Peter's talking about it, Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to come on you as well, because this kind of lifestyle isn't just for a few superstars in the church. This is for every believer. If you are a believer here, God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power. You get to go about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil, because God's with you. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. And we're seeing it at TSM. Everybody is seeing breakthrough. Everyone's got a part to play. Everyone has got a significant role to play in the purposes of God. This is not just for one or two people. This is for the whole church. And my dream, what I love about TSM, is to see every believer believe that they actually can do this stuff. That's what I love about TSM. You're seeing people come from all over the place, different mindsets, different walks of life, different thoughts, different backgrounds. Every single one of them are seeing God's kingdom break out, are understanding who God is as a Father, is understanding who they are. And it's just amazing to watch and to be part of. You know, when I was thinking about Peter's summary of Jesus' life, it got me thinking about what people's summary of my life would be. What would the summary of my life be at the end of my life? I think it would be pretty cool to be something similar to what Peter says about Jesus. Wendy was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. She went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, though God was with her. I want to ask you guys, what is the summary of your life going to be? If someone's going to sum up your life, what would they say? Actually, this is available for every believer. Everyone who knows Jesus, who's given their lives to him. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I want to tell you that God loves you. He is passionately in love with you. That's why he's brought you here this morning, actually. You've been set up. He wants you to be here because he wants you to know him. He wants you to encounter him. He wants you to know what he's like. He is good and he loves you. And for those of you who are believers here, this is what God has got for you. It's time for the church to believe it and really go for it.